This is Money Talk.
I can take money and I can make it into more money.
25 years on the air with advice on money matters. Here's your host, Bob Brinker.
And Bob Brinker is taking a well-deserved day off. My name's Tom Bakar. I'm sitting in for Bob. And what we're going to do is continue into our final hour. The number to call is 1-800-932-2221. Got a little treat for you, and I think we're going to have some fun. We're talking about investments, and we're talking about investment strategies, and we're talking about something that when you really sit down and analyze it is how you purchase financial security with your dollars by accumulating dollars or whatever else it is that you're trying to accumulate, whether that's real estate, et cetera, whatever. Joining me now is Kit Yarrow. She's a consumer psychologist and author of several books, and she's former professor of business and consumer psychology at the Golden Gate University in San Francisco. And I want to welcome you to the show, Kit. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's a pleasure.
Okay, now I guess my first question to you would have to be, are we afraid of money? And what I mean by that is money something materially different to us than, let's say, a car or buying a bed or doing, are we afraid of the concept of money?
Oh God, I would think so. Yeah, it's really not that tangible these days, and I think people are it's so powerful. You know, it's up there with love. So I think things people can't understand, people that have such influence in their life and their happiness and their sense of security and their relationships, I think all of that's threatening to everybody. So I think in a lot of ways, we are afraid of money. Yes, great question.
Well, the reason I'm asking that question is that a lot of us invest money and we take advice, and certainly Bob Brinker gives great advice on that. But it seems that what we try to do is we try to take good advice and then capitalize on that good advice by putting our money in those places. But the question then becomes, do we kind of hope that the people that we entrust the money to are going to do right by us in general? I'm not talking about everybody, because there's some people that, you know, watch every cent, they're day traders, etc. But what I'm asking is the average person who has a 401k or an IRA or something like that, are they putting their trust into people that they will do the right thing by them, assuming that hopefully that will happen, but facing a certain fear factor that they might not?
Yes, I do think that, you know, and it partly because it is so complicated, and I think people that really do a great job, especially with investing, they have expertise. This is not something that you just sort of throw a dart at a wall and figure out. This takes time, expertise, knowledge, insight, and so I think for the average consumer, that's overwhelming, and they want to be able to trust somebody else to take care of their money for them. And at that point, then, the fear factor comes into play, and that's when people react by either becoming sort of obsessive about monitoring or they stick their head in the sand. People tend to fall into one of those two categories, like, I don't want to know, I hired you, it's up to you, I want to just come back and do my quarterly review and find out that things are going well. That would be me, by the way. Or, you know, there's people that really want to kind of like obsessively monitor and watch. And then people with their own level of expertise, they're in a different category. I'm not talking about people that actually understand and invest for themselves. I'm really talking about people that hire investment counselors to help them with their money.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go on. When we talk about, you know, consumer confidence, we're talking about something called the Consumer Confidence Index. What is that, and why is that important? Because I know it's a leading indicator of the economy, but why is the consumer index so important, the confidence index?
Right. So consumer spending, as you well know, is such an enormous part of our economy. And the Consumer Confidence Index really tells people how optimistic they are about the future. You know, how willing are they going to be, especially to buy any sort of big ticket item, anything from a new refrigerator, especially to a car, any house, any big ticket item. It also looks at how, but in addition to that, I think it shows us what people plan to do with their day in and day out funds as well. So are they going to splurge on lunch, or are they going to carry their lunch to work. You know, this is, these sorts of things are also affected by consumer confidence, even everyday spending, as people just generally emotionally and psychologically tighten up a little bit because they don't perceive the future to be safe, or they spend more freely knowing that they can replenish their resources. So the biggest factor that influences consumer confidence is the job market and how satisfied people are that if they lost their job, they could replace that job. But any sort of volatility in their life, things that aren't understandable. So we even see this when there's natural disasters, which have nothing to do with money, but what they are is unsettling to people. This affects consumer confidence. So, you know, even like a terrorist attack or an unusual phenomenon or problems with Congress coming up with agreements, anything like that where people sort of look at the world and they think, it's not very predictable, not so safe, not feeling like I can understand it. They will then, interestingly enough, since it doesn't have always that much to do with money, they'll nevertheless report less confidence in the economy, and that will then reduce their spending. And then, of course, we know the ramifications of that.
Now, consumer confidence is known to be terribly volatile, which is to say it can change very rapidly from very hot to very cold, back to very hot, back to very cold. And that makes it an interesting and important indicator, but it's not one that you can really look at in 1 month and say, this is the ball game.
No, you know, but there are overall bigger trends. So it does, you know, now these days it jumps around a lot, but, you know, not dramatically. So, we'll have consumer confidence increasing, decreasing, but we can see since the recession, you know, this overall increase. So the trajectory looks pretty good.
How badly did the recession scare us as consumers? Because I'm going to bring this back to money in just a second.
The recession absolutely altered people. I mean, it changed consumption. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything have a bigger impact on the way that people shop and buy today. So even if people feel confident today, they've learned new ways of purchasing and buying and evaluating their security based on having gone through a really big scare. So a lot of people say, well, Kit, I mean, people have recovered their assets. You know, what's the big deal? Why are people? Because once you experience a scare like that, whether you lost your home, lost your job, lost your stock funds, or lost nothing, I don't think that's anybody, but, you know, for the lucky few who didn't, it doesn't matter because you saw the loss within your community. You experienced the possibility of loss. And just like with consumer confidence, which is really sort of a forward-looking measure, you know, it tells us what people are probably going to do tomorrow based on how they feel today. It's like a measure of optimism. The recession, I think, permanently created this sort of less optimistic consumer, much more wary, much more protective, much more guarded. In the, you know, I've been studying consumers and watching them shop for about 18 years now, and what I saw was people go from kind of knee-jerk buying or habit buying. In other words, they weren't thinking it through really carefully, a lot of the things they were buying, to this very conscious consumption pattern where people really do think about, where do I get bang for my buck? Do I really need two of those? Isn't one good enough? So it's not as much just a pullback on spending. I'm not seeing that anymore. I'm actually seeing people spending a lot more freely. It's more like they're spending differently. They're really giving thought to where they get pleasure, where they get security, where they get emotional benefits from the things that they buy. So it's less logical, much more emotional today, and a much warier consumer who is shopping so differently than they did a decade ago.
Yet, what's interesting about that is that people will continue to put a certain percentage of their paycheck, if they're able to, into a 401k, an IRA, whatever. They will put it in day after day, week after week, year after year, and kind of not pay the kind of emotional attention to that that they would, let's say, with maybe going out and purchasing an automobile.
That's so true. That's so true. But I think because it's for the average average person, it's really almost like learning a new skill. It's like somebody that doesn't know how to cook suddenly figuring, well, I've got to figure out how to be a good cook, or, you know, fix my own car or something. I mean, it feels very complicated to consumers, and it feels very threatening. I mean, this is actually back to your first question. I think there's such an emotional load around money, and it's such a source of anxiety and fear for people. That, and it's so far away, the ramifications of their actions today. That's what they perceive, even though you and I know that's not true. That's the perception they have is, oh, well, I'm not going to look at that for 20 years anyway. And so they're not as actively involved in it. But I think a lot of it really has to do with knowing that they don't understand it, knowing how important it is, being a little bit fearful of it, and kind of figuring, okay, I'm going to worry about this later.
You're listening to Kit Yarrow. She is a consumer psychologist who's written a number of books on the subject and has taught the subject, and we're going to come back and talk with her more. The number to call, 1-800-934-2221. That's 1-800-934-2221. And what we're going to also talk about is why people might choose to buy a certain stock which is doing well, but they might not choose to buy another stock which may be doing better because of what business they may be engaged in. We're going to do that right after that. We'd love to have your calls and your comments and your questions. 1-800-934-2221. This is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
His hair was falling out in clumps.
Petey stopped eating and all his hair fell out.
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our golden retriever, Sundance, scratched incessantly. There was hair all over. I heard a radio advertisement for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil, the seaweed, the kelp,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Within 2 weeks, the shedding slowed down to almost none. The scratching went away after a few days, and Sundance's coat was starting to get shiny and glossy the way it had when she was a puppy.
Tons of energy, no more bad smells.
If your dog has shedding, dry skin, excessive scratching, the phone number for Dynavite is 859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-261-7500 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-261-7500. That's 800-261-7500. 800-261-7500. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
I'm Steve Sitkowski, a former Wall Street insider. Right now, I'm holding a book that could change your life. It will show you investing strategies which could help you earn the kind of money you've always dreamed about. And right now, I'm giving this book away for free. So who needs to read it? If you're in the middle of your career and you worry you'll never have enough money to retire, you need to read this book. If you're already retired and your income isn't enough, you need to read this book. And if you don't want to be selling burgers at the age of 80, well, you need to read this free book. The reality is, you'll need at least $1 million to ever fully retire. If you're behind on that goal, you really need to read Trade Like the Pros. And you can for free by calling 1-800-900-1139. Are you skeptical that it will deliver results? It's a free book, so what do you have to lose? Find out how at 1-800-900-1139. That's 1-800-900-1139. 1-800-900-1139.
Whether you want breakfast for dinner or dinner for lunch, get any meal, anytime at Norm's.
Our bigger, better breakfast is only $6.59. Hickory smoked bacon, link sausage, ham, eggs, hash browns, and buttermilk hotcakes. Served 24/7.
Or get your feast on with Norm's New York steak and shrimp dinner served all day and night. Hand-cut steak, golden fried shrimp, vegetable, potato, soup, and salad, all for $11.99. Come into Norm's restaurants and eat what you want, when you want. Open 24/7. Normsrestaurants.com.
For you.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barber and John Phillips, will recap the chaotic scene at the Trump rally in Chicago.
Plus, the woman who brought El Chapo and Sean Penn together finally speaks. We're going to talk to the man she spoke to.
Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC. This is Money Talk.
And this is Tom Bakar sitting in for Bob Brinker, who's taking a well-deserved day off. I am with Kit Yarrow, who is a consumer psychologist, former professor of consumer psychology, author of books on consumer psychology, and we're talking about money, but there's another side of money is debt, and we have a call from Chris in Medford, Oregon, talking about the concept of death. Debt. Chris?
Oh, hi, great. Thanks for taking my call. I was going to ask your guest if she had... I've been hearing reports lately that they're talking that consumer debt is ramped back up and back at an all-time high right now. I hear and appreciate your guest's comments on the economy. I think personally, it's a little bit of blue sky, green light stuff, but I guess I'm talking to an overwhelming majority of people. I mean, I talk to people all the time. The overwhelming majority of them think this economy is false, pumped up. Unbelievable amount of them think it's still in recession. And, you know, what I see in hindsight, I guess, I watch it all pretty close and keep a pretty close pulse on it. I guess what I see in hindsight is that all that really happened is that, you know, between the administration and the Fed, they did a 1-2 punch on the people and pumped up their number one and two assets to make people feel more wealthy, which number one would be housing, which I think has been done through constrained inventory, and a lot of other aspects that we could go into all day long on. Mm-hmm. And through 401ks, of course, by pumping an unbelievable amount of stimulus into the economy to investment banks, which have ramped up the stock market. And I guess my advice to people out there would be, you know, you better be darn careful because, you know, the next time this rug gets yanked out from underneath people, it's not going to be pretty. That's my opinion. But I guess my question was, has she heard about consumer debt? I'm hearing reports that it's right back up at an all-time high, and I guess for lack of a better term, all I see that's happened is that they got the mice running again, basically through the media, and people are in debt again.
Okay, that's a good question, Chris. We will take your answer on the air. Thank you for your call. Crit, what about it? Part of confidence is the belief that you're going to have a job, and that does go to the issue of debt and willingness to take it on. What's your comment?
Yeah, I don't think I'm in disagreement with the caller. I think maybe I didn't explain myself clearly enough, but consumers are more confident. That's clear in the numbers. They are spending, again, on larger ticket items. They are also going into debt a little bit more, which, part of that is because people can get credit again. You know, a lot of the austerity following the recession really had more to do with the fact that people couldn't get credit even if they wanted it. And now that's a little bit better than it was before for consumers. Maybe worse is a better way of putting it. But the point I was making really was that people shop differently. So even though consumers are more confident today, they are spending more and they are actually going into debt more, they are also more cautious about how they spend, and they're more conscious and deliberate about the products that they choose. And there's a lot less knee-jerk spending. There's a lot less, I think, frivolous spending. I mean, even though we see that things like festivals and restaurants and so on are really doing well right now at the expense of retail, for example, You know, people are that I interview are making very conscious choices that I get more bang for my buck doing this, and so I'm deliberately choosing to do it differently than I did before or than my parents do it. And I think we've never really seen that in consumers before, so much of this decision being very personal and very much tied to where they get emotional gratification.
Well, what we're also not seeing are venture capitalists just throwing money at everything. When we had the dot-com crash, you know, if you put dot-com behind anything, that was a guarantee of getting millions and millions of dollars. And now venture capitalists actually want to make sure that the business has a very good chance of happening, and they'll fund them in stages and do all of that other stuff. So clearly there is more caution, but there is this issue, of course, always, out there about, are we in a bubble? Is there going to be a tech bubble? Is there going to be a housing bubble? And all of that stuff. How does that weigh on a consumer who may be very happy to go out and have dinner tonight, but they look at the, and they hear that, well, this may be a bubble or this may be a bubble? How does that wear on them?
You know, I haven't asked consumers that specific question in the interviews that I've done with them. I can tell you, just generally speaking, that this is sort of interesting because it's really very similar to the way that I hear consumers talk about their confidence in the future. You know, a lot of it is you have this group of people that really do, I think, want to put their heads in the sands. They feel like everything's okay now, and, you know, they want more immediate gratification, and they're willing to sacrifice in, you know, an absolute certain future, like anybody really has that, in order to get that. And then there are people that are maybe even overly conscious, overly pessimistic, overly, I think, careful about their funds. And, you know, it's almost like we have this kind of bipolar mentality in society where, you know, either people are kind of not paying attention and being, you know, much more, I think, optimistic about their futures, or they're overly cautious and they're not reading signals that things are improving. So,
well, Chris talked about, he talked about the economy, but if you equate that to another thing called jobs, then does it become much more realistic to the consumer?
So much. Absolutely. You know, this is, so it's the oddest thing. Jobs, and believe it or not, gas prices, in the past have always been, you know, really, in a way, the little mini markers that people use to understand whether or not they feel safe and optimistic going forward. But even the consumer confidence, I think, today, the way that people spend, even when they feel more confident, is still really very different. I mean, I think we have a radically revised consumer mind, and they really go about buying and shopping for things, which I think would affect investors a great deal in very different ways. And we see segments of the economy that used to really keep us going, like retail, being trumped by things like travel and experiences and festivals and music. And, you know, this is really a reflection of a consumer that looks at how they spend their money quite differently. And I think should be reflected, or a smart investor would probably want to pay attention to that. That even the consumer that's confident or not.
We have to take a break, Kit. So we will be back. This is Money Talk.
This is Money Talk.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-700-1851. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-700-1851. 1-800-700-1851.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1. Stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-973-5992. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-973-5992. Step 3. Congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-973-5992. That's 1-800-973-5992.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And right now you can try Listen Clear absolutely free, with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now, 1-800-500-4055. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now, 1-800-500-4055. That's 1-800-500-4055. 1-800-500-4055.
Quick, how fast can you come up with a four-letter word for each letter of the alphabet starting from A to Z? Ready? Go!
A. Able. Beat. Let's see. Cake. Deal. East. Faint. Game. Hike. Iron. Oh, I'm on a roll. Joke. Kite.
Introducing FitBrains, the brain training program with over 50 fun games like this one, Apples to Zebras. FitBrains is designed by neuroscientists and game experts to challenge your brain's memory, focus, speed of thinking, and more. Download the free FitBrains app right now. It's available on iTunes and Google Play.
Tall. Undo. Vest. W. Wand. Is there even a four-letter word for X?
Do you enjoy challenging your brain with fun games? To train your brain with other fun FitBrains games like this one, download the free FitBrains app. It's available on iTunes and Google Play. Hurry, download the FitBrains app for free right now. FitBrains, brain training success.
Want to see what you'd look like if you had a flatter belly? Now's your chance, because for a limited time, we're giving away free trials of Newbiotics, the new discovery that flattens bloated bellies fast. But hurry and call now while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-974-5528. Strict limit of one free trial per household. These free trials are reserved for anyone, male or female, who's looking for maximum belly flattening in minimum time. Newbiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. So just think how much better you'll look and feel. Want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly? Now's your chance. But hurry, call now for details while we're still giving these trials of Newbiotics away for free. 1-800-974-5528. That's 1-800-974-5528. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-974-5528.
Your one stop for breaking news and adult fun. 790 KABC.
This is Money Talk.
And Tom Bakar sitting in for Bob Brinker, who's taking the day off. My guest today is Kit Yarrow, a consumer psychologist, former professor of consumer psychology, author on many books about the psychology of consumerism, which is really the psychology of money when you really think about it. And, Kit, I guess a question I want to ask you about is something that's really interesting. In investing, obviously, people try to get the most that they possibly can. But back in the days of apartheid in South Africa, a lot of organizations, retirement funds, universities, general investment companies decided we're not going to support apartheid, so we're not going to invest in South Africa. A lot of people don't want to support damage to the rainforest. They don't want to support exacerbating climate change. But they are interested in maybe supporting solar or wind power or fair trade items or made in the USA. Why is it that these people, and this is a lot of people we're talking about, are willing to forego their personal profit in order to not promote something or to promote something when it may not be to their best economic advantage? Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. So did you hear my question?
No, I just got reconnected.
Okay. Okay, we just had an error there. Okay, so we'll start over. Folks have started back in the days of apartheid, investment organizations, universities, retirement funds, not investing in South Africa because of apartheid or damage to the rainforest or damage to global climate and all of that stuff. But they will invest, put their hard-earned money into solar, wind, fair trade, things made in the USA. Maybe not get as great a return, but they choose to forego their own best interest financially in order to support or not support something. My question to you is, why do they do that?
Well, you know, this is the field Daniel Kahneman won a Nobel Prize for. He's a psychologist and won a Nobel Prize in economics because he discovered that actually people are more motivated and make decisions based on emotional criteria, including relationships and values, not just on financial gain. And so we see this everywhere that you know, people use money, which is power, as a way, I think, to support their self-identity, as a way to, feel good about themselves or their relationships in life. And that happens in the retail environment all the time, and it also happens in the market. And it will only increase as our millennial generation is now, the older ones are now 35, so, they're investing, and they feel more strongly than other generations about using their money to vote with their feet. So there's other interests besides financial gain that people weigh into the equation of how they want to use their money.
I'm going to take a call from Joy, who has a very interesting guest question. Joy from Panama City, Florida. Go ahead, Joy.
What effect do you think, if any, the threat of terrorism has on our economy?
Yeah, that's a great question, Joy. And, it's interesting. We have seen over and over again dips in consumer confidence when there have been any sort of catastrophic incident. So it could be, a hurricane, a tornado. But also when I think the one that brought this to my attention was when Congress a few years ago was squabbling over the budget, and people freaked out, and it affected our consumer confidence. Now we're getting more used to it, so it doesn't have the same impact, but it kind of taught me, and I think it taught a lot of investors as well, that extreme acts that are threatening in some way, I guess we'd put Congress in there sometimes, but especially I think terrorist acts, I think these things do affect people's sense of security, which even if it's not related to money directly, it nevertheless does affect consumer confidence.
What about, for example, when there's an attack on theaters? We've had quite a few of those. I mean, does that then translate to people saying, well, you know what, I'm going to stay home and watch Netflix or something?
Yeah, exactly. And that effect doesn't tend to last too long. You know, it's a little bit more immediate. Yeah.
Let's talk about something else here. When the when people see, even if they're not invested in something like the market, and they see a big downturn in a market, and we had one recently, but it wasn't a downturn that, related in, massive layoffs and, massive closures of businesses as we saw during the recession. If a person's not invested in the market and they see the Dow went up 100 or down 100 and they have no interest in that, does that still affect them, or is that something they say is really not my problem?
I think the volatility of the market has just become such a daily source of information and news that I think the average consumer is paying much less attention to it just because it's almost impossible to keep up. For me, I think just as somebody that studies retail and consumers, what's interesting to me is how much that segment has changed because of consumer confidence and because of this more wary, guarded consumer that's kind of used to receiving some level of you know, negative news on a regular basis, you know, I think this all contributes to a psychology of a consumer that is more emotionally driven than ever before. And I'll explain that, and also less rational and more emotional in the way that they go about making their purchase decisions, and also a little bit more wary and guarded just in general about anything they're going to invest their money in. So, you know, I think this plays out, it's got to impact the market hugely when consumers say, if I don't get emotional bang from my buck for what I give my money to in some way, I'm not going to put it there anymore. So it could be the trend toward festivals kind of competing now with buying new cars, for example. So a lot of young people today are saying, forget the new car. I don't really need it. I don't care about a car, but I want to go to every festival there is. They're into the immediate gratification, experiential sort of ways to use their money, and less interested in saving and investing in a house, a car, and so on. This is a huge and major shift. But I think it reflects this changed mentality of the consumer towards one that's really paying attention to, where do I get the most from my money today? You know, how should I invest my money? And I'm talking about in goods, not just in the market. But ultimately, that affects the market. It's the industries that are doing well. So if you look at the Consumer Satisfaction Index, all of the retailers are down, all of them, even the ones that consumers love, like Amazon, all of them consumers are less happy with. What they're happy with is travel and eating out and going to festivals and, you know, experiential sorts of things, you know, any sort of technology, social media. These are the ones that consumers are saying, I love these things. I mm-hmm. want to give these industries my money.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we're listening to Kit Yarrow, consumer psychologist. We're going to come back with a question from David, but we have to take a break, and it'll be a short one. This is Tom Bakar sitting in for Bob Brinker, and this is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-700-3017. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff, or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-700-3017. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-700-3017. That's 1-800-700-3017.
I'm Steve Sitkowski, a former Wall Street insider. Right now, I'm holding a book that could change your life. It will show you investing strategies which could help you earn the kind of money you've always dreamed about. And right now, I'm giving this book away for free. So who needs to read it? If you're in the middle of your career and you worry you'll never have enough money to retire, you need to read this book. If you're already retired and your income isn't enough, you need to read this book. And if you don't want to be selling burgers at the age of 80, well, you need to read this free book. The reality is, you'll need at least $1 million to ever fully retire. If you're behind on that goal, you really need to read Trade Like the Pros. And you can for free by calling 1-800-900-1139. Are you skeptical that it will deliver results? It's a free book, so what do you have to lose? Find out how at 1-800-900-1139. That's 1-800-900-1139. 1-800-900-1139.
July 25th, 2006, we adopted April. She's a purebred, orange and white, Brittany. But when she started scratching like crazy, I said to John, it's got to be her food. You know, what you put into a dog is what you get out. We heard this radio commercial, and this woman was so excited about Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I said to John, oh, I'm getting this. So the Dinovite comes, and I thought, a light bulb moment. She loves her dog food. She always leaves a little bit in her bowl. So So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in it, and then we swished it around like gravy. She dove into that bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. So that's been the routine for almost 10 years. April gets Dynavite for dessert. Her coat is now soft, it's silky, it's smooth. She even walks like a little princess.
859-428-1000.
I'm Dynavite. She's Little Miss Hollywood.
DINOVITE.com.
As I've said, one of the best ways to manage your debt is by creating a spending plan and sticking to it. Here's a plan to help you get serious about your credit. Enroll in Experian Credit Tracker. You get anytime access to your credit report and FICO score, plus powerful tools to help you make the most of your credit, including a direct line to experienced credit experts. So get serious about your credit, starting with your $1 credit report and FICO score at Experian.com.
For over 75 years, GEICO's been about consistency, as in we've consistently helped people save money on their car insurance. And to prove it, we'll air one of our first radio commercials from over 75 years ago.
At GEICO, we're all about consistency, as in we consistently help people save money on their car insurance. To prove it, you can call GEICO. Call us today, call us tomorrow, call us 75 years from now.
That was way more consistent than I expected.
GEICO, saving people money for over 75 years.
This is Money Talk.
And Tom Baker sitting in for Bob Brinker on Money Talk. And on the phone we have Kit Yarrow, a consumer psychologist, a former professor of consumer psychology, and an author of books on consumer confidence, consumer psychology, consumer buying, and all of that stuff. And a very interesting question comes up from David in Atlanta. David, ask your question. Fascinating.
Hey, Kit. Hey, Tom. Good to talk to you. So what I see, I'll try not to be one of those people that ramble on, but I'm a fairly sophisticated investor, and I see that people, normal people like me, think that the government is totally out of control, $17 trillion in debt. And we see this, it's not getting any better. And so there's a lot of fear related to that debt. And you look at Washington and you see it's so dysfunctional. So when you work all that in, I can totally understand why people are afraid. So I'm just interested in your thoughts.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. And, you know, it is such an interesting question and such a good point, too. And I think we're seeing this play out so vividly in the election as well that, you know, government's not really setting a great example for consumers. I think there's so much resignation to go along with that fear. So putting people into, again, a couple of categories, you know, the fearful and protective and the resigned or, you know, just putting the head in the sand sort of category, but definitely not helping to see, you know, to the debt and also I think the lack of collaboration within our government. It's not good for consumers.
Does it affect people in the sense that they'll look at this and, you know, some people are afraid if this party wins or that party wins or this one person wins and this other person wins. There's a lot of that, you know, kind of tribalism going along with these candidates and all of that stuff. Does that issue of tribalism affect us in the way that we, you know, go out there and let's say when we go shopping for groceries or when we go down to the mall or when we get on the internet, which so many of us do now, does that change our attitude about, you know, do I really need to push the button here or is that something that's so far in the background that we hope something doesn't happen, but, you know, we're going to act accordingly to whatever our code is?
Yeah, well, for sure it's different for different consumers. I don't think there's any, you know, one way, and it certainly, it also has so much to do with somebody's financial means and, you know, their own personal values around security, safety, politics, et cetera. So I guess we'll see a lot of variation in that. But we did see that in the last election, you know, that there are consumers that just sort of felt like this is going to be really bad for the economy and change their investment strategies. And I imagine, and I don't know, I haven't studied this in particular, but I imagine that's probably true in every election cycle. I mean, it's so interesting, I think, for people that work in the field of finance, you know, and their money, they're so savvy about money and they're so knowledgeable about it and the economy, but how much psychology impacts the reaction of the larger market base and how much confidence and a sense of security influences all of that. And so even things like the election, I think, are hugely important in how somebody is going to choose to purchase and how confident they're going to be in their finances, which affects their investment strategies and also, you know, their day-in and day-out shopping, whether or not they splurge or save or, you know, just put the lid on everything.
And since this is two-thirds of consumer economy, that's important, which raises the issue of the Internet. And it's different. It's, you know, kind of tug of war with brick-and-mortar stores.
Yeah.
How significant, and we know it's significant, but as you look down the road, what do you think the prognosis is for brick-and-mortar stores to survive when people can just as easily go and on a smartphone or on a computer and just order what they want and, you know, kind of be very competitive about price and not
yeah.
really care where it's coming from?
You know, it's so interesting to me because what I see in this in retail is people in the upper echelon, the people that have worked in retail all their life, they keep having this discussion about is it good or bad that consumers are so crazy about the Internet? What are they going to do about it? Same with healthcare. There's all this huge discussion about is it a patient or a consumer? Patients are acting like consumers. Is that good or bad? You know, it doesn't even matter if it's good or bad because the thing is that the future is the consumer that dominates and has control. They're empowered by the Internet. They know they can get transparency and answers. They know that they can get both, you know, healthcare and also retail to compete with each other for their dollars. And so they win. They are going to win. And so the entire thing is just changing. While I think people in the upper echelons a lot of times are just talking to each other about whether or not this change is a good thing, the fact of the matter is the change is here, and it's never going back. Consumers will always be more empowered, and they'll always want to use those resources to get the better deal, to get more product. Now, to answer your question specifically, there's you know, I think we'll actually see a lot of online retailers that are actually having brick-and-mortar outposts because there's some sorts of products that consumers really need to come in contact with. Any luxury products, people usually want to touch them to find out how they're different. Younger consumers that are less experienced with sizing or brands, they're learning. They like to go and shop and touch things. And there's also, like, groups of people that feel like shopping is just an enjoyable activity. It's like something pleasurable to learn about their environment. You know, this has been going on since we've been, you know, meeting in village squares before we even had television sets or anything. So, you know, shopping's always kind of been part of our communities, and it always will be. And so brick and mortar, there will always be a place for it, but completely and totally different. And any retailer that's still having the discussion about whether it's good or bad is a retailer you don't want to get in bed with. This is the past. The future is the empowered consumer that's merging online and in-store into their own unique way of shopping that gives them control and transparency, the ability to see what things should cost. And, you know, it's just a completely different environment, just like healthcare.
You know, it's interesting. Our producer, Robbie Chandran, he raised this issue. He says, and I've seen this in various cities, pop-up shops where a store like a Target or even I think Amazon's now starting to have, I think Amazon was going to create some bookstores and all of that. What about this idea of pop-up stores?
Yeah.
You know, you would think that everything would go online.
Yeah, no, it's because I think there is a way where people want to touch and feel things. Now, here's an example. There's a company called ModCloth that has a whole variety of clothing. They're kind of like a little bit unusual, and the millennials love them. So they rent pop-up space in major cities. So they had one in San Francisco recently. I think it's still there. So people can't actually buy stuff there. They go and try it on, and then it's ordered and sent to their home for them. But they get the chance to touch it. It's a really small footprint. The retailer doesn't need a lot of inventory because it's all coming from their central inventory location. It's not housed in the storerooms anyway. But it satisfies what people want from stores, which is the ability to touch things and look at them. And it gets people into retail environments because it's exciting and new. It's not the same old, you know, trolling down the aisles to look at the same old stuff you've always looked at and then not finding they don't have your size anyway. You know, this is what consumers are really looking for, is a hybrid, where a retailer, and this is why so many new retailers are doing it better than the old guard, where a retailer says, what do people want when they go into a store? Oh, they want to touch it. They don't necessarily have to take it home that day. What do people want when they go in online? Well, they want, you know, pricing transparency. They want an organized way of understanding what a selection is. They want ideas and so on. And then giving that to the consumer under the banner of a particular brand.
Wow. Well, Kit, I very much appreciate you being with us. Second time you've done it, and we'll have you back again. Kit Yarrow, again, a consumer psychologist, former professor of consumer psychology, author of books, and a really knowledgeable person who, during the recession, became an incredibly important resource for me and a lot of other reporters because the recession was certainly about a diminution in gross damage to the confidence of consumers. Thank you, Kit, very much,
and
we'll have you on again.
Okay.
All righty, this is Money Talk. Bob Brinker will be back next week, and I believe I'll be back on the 10th of April, and I'll try to get you the answer about whether or not certain stores are red flags for credit card companies, that if somebody who isn't from the immediate area comes in, that must be some sort of a question of fraud. We will certainly take a look at that and try to get back to you on that. And just want to tell you that, you know, I appreciate you supporting me in doing this, because I don't have Bob's vast knowledge of individual financial instruments and all of that. I've been more of a larger picture economics kind of guy. But all of this stuff is important, and it's important for you to know it, because then you can make decisions in the same way that, for example, insurance companies are going to have to make decisions when we have driverless cars. One of these days, we will have, in great numbers, driverless cars. Think about the impact that might have on insurance rates. It'll make them go down, and that impact will be significant to the insurance industry, which is already thinking about it. But it's always good when you're thinking about investments or purchases, whatever is, what is the long-term impact? What are the implications of what's likely to happen here? As I say, driverless cars could mean a world of difference, both in terms of loss of jobs for people who are professional drivers, but it also make a world of difference in the diminution of accidents, in the diminution of repair shops and how many things have to be done, and certainly all of those other things that go along with that. Always think about the implications whenever you can. My name's Tom Vakar. Again, Bob will be back. And this has been Money Talk.